Ireland's women's hockey team are preparing for the Olympic Games, which, depending on your source, may or may not actually be taking place a year later than scheduled in Tokyo this summer. The Olympic Federation of Ireland have expressed their optimism that they will go ahead, but there are many, many differing reports these days. Sean Dancer is head coach of the Ireland team, who finally recently got to play their first international matches in a year. Hello, Sean.
Hi, how you going?
Good. It must be very strange at the moment for you.
Yeah, look, it's certainly not a good scenario at all, and certainly, and first and foremost, is making sure people are healthy and safe. But then you throw in the complex situation of us trying to organise an Olympic preparation program, and it's certainly a difficult time.
So the various reports coming out, the article from the Times was probably the one that perhaps got an awful lot of people's attentions, because they suggested that the Japanese government had already decided that the Olympic Games aren't taking place. And then the IOC come out and say that no, the Japanese government have categorically said that's categorically untrue. And then you hear different people suggesting different things. Where does that leave you?
Yeah, look, I think certainly there's going to be lots of speculation around if it's on, it's not on, and how it's all going to look. I think certainly quite early on in the pandemic, we sort of made a decision as a group is that we would certainly try and focus on what we can control and what we can do. And obviously now the situation is probably a little bit worse than what it was even a couple of months ago. So to be honest, all the information we keep getting, and OFI has been very good at, I suppose, presenting what they do have, is that everything is certainly still go, and that's the way we're preparing for things.
And has that been for quite some time? That's what the Olympic Federation of Ireland has been saying to you. These are happening. So is it just work away as if they're definitely going on in the summer?
Yeah, certainly we're obviously trying to be full steam ahead and do what we can to try and make it work. I think also for us as a group, I think if we get caught and focused on, is it not on, I think we lose a lot of our focus and our ability to train the way that we need to train. So we're just trusting. And I suppose putting our trust in people will give us the information when we need to have it. But as I said, all the information we have so far is that things are going to go ahead, and it may be a little bit of a different feel. We may have to even quarantine in Ireland before we leave. Certainly there would be more stipulations around arriving into Japan. We have a preparation camp in a place called Iwate. That would then obviously be a controlled quarantine environment as well. So I suppose we're sort of putting the backup plans in making sure that we can make things happen. But certainly we're putting our trust that things will still go ahead.
Is that something new? Because I haven't heard about that. This quarantine in Ireland for, what is it, for 2 weeks before you even get on the plane, and then you go into a bubble once you get to your training camp.
Yeah, I think it's probably it's not necessarily new, but I think it's more about just thinking about the big picture and what may happen. So if push comes to shove and things still aren't great, then I think probably one of the things that might be in place is making sure that we're sort of quarantined before we even leave the country. And sort of we're just sort of thinking about how we could do it, but also how we could still do it and have a training environment. So trying to find locations, fields, all that type of stuff. I think there's a lot still to happen, but I suppose we're just trying to see what we could possibly set up.
What has this been like as an operation, and with whom are you working to set up these things, like finding a field now? Because obviously all the federations around the world are trying to do similar things.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing, it's certainly not easy, and certainly being an amateur sport, we don't have the big budgets that some of the professional organisations have. So it is a difficult time. Hockey Ireland, the institutes, both north and south, the OFI, the government, there is a lot of good support. You take, for example, us actually getting to Spain last week or the week before. There was a lot of work in the background to actually make it happen. And so we do feel very lucky that we are supported well here in Ireland. And we know that the institutes and everybody will do everything possible to help us keep moving forward.
Let's talk about those Spain Spain games then, because it had been a year since you'd had an actual international match. So I know you'd been playing against the under-19s boys teams and the senior men's Ireland teams as well, haven't you? So, but there's a difference, even though they must have been seriously competitive games, there must be a big difference between playing against a women's team of a similar standard.
Yeah, like it's, I mean, it's the first thing, it's just crazy that it's been over 12 months since we played a game of hockey. This time last year, we were sitting in South Africa with everything just starting to kick off. So it's been a tough year, but it's just also amazing at how quick the year's actually gone. And our preparation in Ireland sort of from August to December was actually really good. Like we got back together, we were able to do a lot of things. We had some really good opportunities to play against that 19 boys group, and for the girls, that's actually a really good level for us to compete and play things against. But it still just doesn't replicate playing against a quality team that you know that you're going to meet at an international level, and Spain provided that opportunity. And I suppose we've just been doing the review with all the players over the last week or so, and there's, it just comes up with every single player, there's nothing that beats us playing international games, and that pressure that you have, the brain power that you need to organise your structure and your tactics, the communication of working with different players, all that stuff is just tested, and you can train all you want, but nothing's going to beat playing those games.
And did you learn anything in particular, perhaps unexpected, given the difference that there has been the full 12 months since your previous one?
Yeah, look, that's a really interesting question. I think certainly with any competition, you certainly learn a lot. We've changed the squad at the moment, so we have some younger players that have come in, and I think that was probably one of the main things for the tour that we learned was just integrating those players in, learning how they sort of incorporated into the group and how they took on board the structure and the tactics. And I suppose just trying to take away some of those key things on how we keep pushing the group forward. From a big picture point of view, Spain also played with a wider group. So I think they basically had 30 players there for the week or so. Their squad's still quite large. So both teams were certainly trying a few things. I wouldn't say necessarily there was a huge amount different in their style of play, but certainly just around a few little structural tactic things, they were trying a few things. So it's just interesting to see what teams are sort of trying and putting out there.
No, very interesting. Also interesting, though, bringing the young players in. I know that a few of the players have opted off the panel, a few of the more established players. But given the year that is in it and given the success that this group has had over the last couple of years, trying to get that all right and get them combined and gelling properly ahead of what we hope will be a huge summer must be difficult.
Yeah, it certainly is. I mean, obviously with players stepping out, it's always going to be a bit of a changing environment and some things that we have to try and work through. But I'm also really excited about the younger players that have come in. So we have some very good talent. We have some very good skills. The camogie skills that come out in some of the players with their combination of sports, it's just something you can't teach, and certainly other countries just don't have some of those skills. So I think the future for the group and for the team is very exciting, and I think if we can get some of those younger players up to speed of international hockey, in the end it was a very good learning experience for a few of them. And there's certainly areas that we need to keep working on, but I think the future ahead is quite bright.
Brilliant. It's also brilliant to hear the word camogie said in Australian accent. What in particular camogie skill was brought in by some of these players?
I think from a cultural point of view, I'm also learning a lot, probably getting a lot wrong, but I really enjoy the 3D skills that the different games bring. And some of the actions, you just, as a hockey player and basically a sole hockey player, there's skills and actions you just don't expect at different times. And that's what some of the other sports and the Gaelic sports bring. So it is quite exciting. And it's also really fun to coach in a different environment and have that exposure to different styles of athletes, which is good.
I love you here talking about learning culturally, and that reference you made before in a previous piece you did about watching Derry Girls, because you were stuck in quarantine for a lot of last year, and you said you spent it watching Derry Girls so you could actually understand what poor Megan Fraser is saying.
Yeah, well, they seem to quite enjoy the program, and they were having a nice little laugh as a team every now and then. So I thought I better get into this. So once I did watch a little bit of, I obviously enjoyed the humour and learned a little bit more about the culture. But it's interesting also then when I took it back to my family in Australia, my mum actually really likes it as well. So we sit there and watch Derry Girls together.
And does she, and do you actually understand what they're saying?
I certainly think I understand most of things now. So maybe a few things here and there.
Okay, let's go back to the team now, because obviously you have all these plans. Your plan was to go to Belfast because they have, explain this to me, what's up in Belfast that allows you to acclimatise ahead of Tokyo?
Yeah, so one of the big things with Tokyo is it's going to be the hottest Olympics ever, and obviously from an Irish point of view, just making sure that we get that exposure to humidity and heat, and the ideal program for us would be to go to a country and do that preparation. With the crisis, it's obviously making things look less likely, but the positive thing about Belfast and Jordanstown University is they have a heat chamber where we can control the environment and we can also control the humidity. So part of what we want to do is increase the number of exposures that players have to it, but also then work really hard on developing our heat strategies and our cooling strategies. So by the time we get to Tokyo, we're obviously accustomed to being able to train and play in that type of condition, but also in a position where we can recover well, and that's going to be the key, because we have 8 games in 14 days. You've got 15 field players, which means the workload of each player is going to increase, and then for us to be able to back that up day after day is a huge workload. So the humidity and the heat's certainly going to be one of the key factors on whoever's successful in Tokyo.
And so that plan is still in place, and it's a full relocation to Belfast?
Yeah, so I think probably one of the key lessons that we learnt coming out of Spain was we did a very good job and our protocols were excellent. We've managed to get 31 people to Spain and back without any positive COVID tests. So we're certainly doing a good thing. But I think the one little thing we're missing is if we can create a complete bubble. If we can create a complete bubble, it means that we can probably do a few more things off the field that a team needs to do, but also then the opportunity to, live at Jordanstown, go into the heat chamber a couple of times, really create a bubble camp for a week or so and work hard on a few of those things. So that's what we've got sort of planned coming up, and we're just trying to sort of work through the logistics and the details of that now.
If you talk about creating a full bubble, then how long does that mean players and yourself, and well, I know your family is in New Zealand at the moment, but how long will people be away from their family? So,
yeah, so I mean, that's probably the thing that we're just trying to weigh up is how we can actually do it practically. You've obviously got budget costs that we need to certainly consider in there, but I suppose that my sort of first thoughts at the moment is we're sort of trying to get people together for a week. I think if we could get people together for a week every month for a couple of months, then I think that probably it's not a bad way up between us being able to cover things off as a team and also making sure that we keep people safe and still have enough time to support their families and their work and stuff. So,
and your hope was to go to Japan in March. Is that looking increasingly unlikely?
Yeah, certainly it's not looking likely. Obviously, the situation in Japan, they're in a state of emergency at the moment. So from a practical point of view, we can't actually book flights and get there. But we still have a good link with Japan. So if it is possible, we're still considering and trying to work hard on that. And obviously, we're still open to other ideas as the situation unfolds over the next sort of 3 or 4 months on what we can do. So it's certainly just trying to get through each week at the moment. And then big picture planning is just, I suppose, trying to see what the opportunities might be for us.
And presumably you want to get more international matches under the belt. So what's the story in terms of that?
Yeah, so the key is obviously playing international games. I think probably one of the big decisions will be around the Europeans, which is in June, the start of June. And that's the World Cup qualification as well. So from a planning point of view, we just need to make sure that May we have competition. At the moment, the big picture plan is that we have China coming here for a couple of games. Whether or not that'll still go ahead, we're unsure. And then we have an opportunity to go to London in May as well and play against Argentina and possibly England. So May is probably the next window where we're going to really push hard to get competition, and that'll be focused in preparing for the Europeans and the World Cup qualifier in June that obviously then leads into the Olympics.
Well, it sounds to me like you've plenty of plan A's, plans B, plans C. Hopefully one of the plans will come out anyway. Sean, thank you very much and good luck with it all.